On Tuesday, the long-distance company WorldCom announced it had misstated nearly $4 billion in expenses in what investigators are calling the biggest accounting scandal in history. Coming on the heels of Enron and several other corporate scandals, WorldCom's news is severely testing people's faith in the credibility of financial information. We sought help from financial gurus Tom and David Gardner, creators of the Motley Fool website. David Gardner says recent corporate fraud scandals are actually limited to a couple of industries.
It is hard to believe what's happened, but I think actually if investors look at where it's happening, that will partially tell the story for us, and that is it's been happening in the industries of energy and telecom, industries that demand very high upfront capital investment, lot of money to get started. And so you see these companies with $20 billion plus in debt, and that money has been spent through acquisitions, executive compensation, obviously very rich for these people to speculate, and in many cases, not a very careful watch on how the dollars were being spent, and perfect opportunity for a CFO or for a group of executives to mislead investors. The promise of these businesses was so great. They're going to provide high-speed internet access. We're going to be Star Trek guys walking around with little video watches because of these great infrastructure investments in telecommunications. And it led to a lot of, I think, a lack of scrutiny of their financial decisions.
The actions of these corporations may affect the stock market. I mean, people are at best skittish. Most people aren't Warren Buffett. They invest small sums regularly, either in stocks or in mutual funds. And then they find out that the companies are lying. I mean, what are people supposed to do?
Well, I think there are two things we have to do. Both of them involve, if you're going to be a stock market investor, the selection of your stocks. The first is, please notice that most of the names we've been talking about today, Corva, are companies that you and I do not buy directly from as consumers. I mean, I was never purchasing directly from Global Crossing or Enron or Tyco. And so if you avoid companies that tend to sell to each other as opposed to you and to me, you'll generally do better as an investor anyway, and you'll definitely avoid a lot of the shenanigans and a lot of the hidden off-balance sheet stuff. But then the second point is really that a lot of these companies grew through acquisition, through massive numbers of acquisitions. And so that's another thing that Tom and I try to avoid as investors. We stay focused on companies that can generate their own growth just internally through operations, organic growth, like 10 more Starbucks's, as opposed to we've just acquired 10 more companies. And so I think if you follow companies that you buy from and companies that just grow from operations organically, that's the way to invest successfully.
As unfortunate as the Enron investor, as much punishment as they've taken, I don't have as much sympathy for them because in that case, the CEO was saying he didn't understand the business. So if we're going to be individual investors in companies, an investment in Kmart, another company that's gone through Chapter 11 bankruptcy in the last year, didn't most of us know something was wrong at Kmart? When we walked in the aisles and there were plastic plants that were unsold spilling out into the aisles, and you had Target, everyone was talking about becoming a Costco member, and Walmart was the big giant in the industry, you kind of knew Kmart was being marginalized. And that's not as easy to tell when we're talking about Global Crossing, again, a company, as Dave noted, that we just don't have a personal experience with. So I think it starts with that experience, and then it does move towards being able to read and understand some numbers. And for anyone who just doesn't want to do that, the index fund, buying the total stock market at very low expense, is a wonderful way to get diversification and exposure to the stock market.
Dave, what is an index fund?
An index fund is simply a mutual fund. That means you and I put money together and someone else manages it for us. That instead of being selective, that is a human being deciding, I like this, I don't like that, it will just buy everything within a given index. A typical index we hear all the time, the S&P 500, 500 of the largest companies in America. So an S&P 500 index fund, the most popular flavor of index fund today, is simply one that when you put your money in, it gets divided into 500 little pieces and put in those companies along with mine and everyone else's.
Tom, people may be scared. They may not want to put money in an index fund. Should they run home and put it in their mattress or in their checking account?
Well, I think you have to invest according to your own temperament, your own approach to life. Somebody who invests in the index fund but can't possibly stomach a 25% decline in a single year to their overall investments shouldn't be in an index fund. And that means you're probably not going to beat inflation that much with your investments, but you're going to have to do a darn good job of saving, and you may have to work a little bit later in life. But the young person today who invests in the stock market and can take the 20% decline, the every third year decline of the market, but the gradual doubling of their money every 7, 8, 9, or 10 years over their lifetime, I think is somebody that should view the market decline today as an opportunity to actually get discounts on some really good businesses, whether it's through an index fund or through investing in individual stocks.
Now, you guys run a website. What are you talking about this week in the wake of all this information?
I think one thing that I keep going back to is let's not put too much stock in the headlines, and I'm not intending any pun there with stock. Let's not pay too much heed to the headlines. I know it's serious, and certainly the people who are invested in WorldCom, I hope not many of your listeners were, Corvo. The stock was at 80 cents before all this news broke. We would never invest in penny stocks as it is. But anyway, if you end up just sort of reading the headlines and that's all you're reading, you think that everything's gone wrong with business in our society. It would be similar to watching the television local news tonight and deciding that you shouldn't even walk out on the streets because one story after another was about murder and mayhem and kidnapping and all the rest. But that's not the way that the world is. In fact, most people are doing their best out there. Most people actually are decent and care about their reputation in the minds of others. So I think we have to do a gut check here and realize that the stock market, hey, the Dow is today around 9,000. That's still well above where it was at 4,000, by the way, when we started the Motley Fool back in 1994. So yeah, it was at 12,000, but it's not like it's gone from 12,000 to 500 or something like that. Most American businesses are robust. Most companies are run by good people who are trying to make a buck honestly.
Tom and Dave Gardner are co-founders of The Motley Fool. It's found at fool.com. They're also co-hosts of The Motley Fool radio show from NPR. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Corva.
Corva, thanks a lot.